Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview. This is the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week or the past couple of weeks as we continue with our somewhat relaxed summer schedule here at the Weekly Worldview. So good to have you back with us as we, well, as we're back there. So we're back. I don't really have a thing for being back. I've been working on a Donald Trump impression. I don't know how well that'll go. I may not try it. Although this would be the week. This would be the week. I think I want to talk about my left arm. I want to file an official complaint that I'm only 50 years old and I believe I've used my left arm up. I don't think I can get any more use out of it. I can't do anything without it hurting anymore. And so do any of you people experience that? Anyone over 40, I guess? Just parts of your body that you thought you'd be able to use well into old age? They seem to be... I just can't use my left arm to do anything. I mean, brushing my teeth. Brush my teeth for 2 minutes, my shoulder hurts. Rake the lawn for 15 minutes, the elbow hurts. Anyway, but now I'm just whining. So I'll move on into the events of the week so that my extremely attractive audio engineer doesn't fall asleep or just leave, because she hears this kind of stuff all the time. So that's no. You want us? We'll start in Tompkinsville Park, Staten Island. Does anybody remember the name Tompkinsville Park in Staten Island? That's where the media set up their nonstop wall-to-wall coverage of the killing of Eric Garner. Remember Eric Garner? He was killed by New York City Police Department officers across the street from the park. And he was selling Lucy's. Now, you might think, because this is in New York, that he was selling girls named Lucy, because that happens in New York. But he was selling loose cigarettes one at a time. And a conservative talk show host at the time, I remember, had some sort of a tax protest, a tax angle on the story. Eric Garner was evading taxes and he was attacked by the police state. Well, what Eric Garner was doing was he was selling loose cigarettes one at a time for like a buck each to heroin addicts and junkies and prostitutes. And if someone's standing on the corner selling Lucy's, that's a sign of a bad neighborhood. And it's indicative of other criminal behavior. Anyway, so when the police grab you and they tell you to get on the ground, you got to get on the ground. Especially if you're a big fat guy who could die of a heart attack at any moment. Just lay down. And Mr. Garner did not lay down. He decided to resist and struggle. And he was a big fat guy and he had a heart attack and he's dead. Or did he suffocate? He might have suffocated. Either way, if he would have just laid down and shut up and went to jail, he would still be with us. He would probably still be hanging out around Tompkinsville Park, because the park has gone the way of Eric Garner. Indeed, in fact, since the killing of Garner, the police have basically left Tompkinsville Park on Staten Island to the people who infested the park before the police tried to clean up some of the criminal activity around there. Cops don't want to risk their job. They don't want to risk their career by enforcing the law in Tompkinsville Park. And so now locals call it Needle Park. And it's full of crack addicts and heroin addicts and junkies and overdoses. I'll link to this story. The picture of the woman in the story is horrifying. If any of you have daughters out there and you see the picture of this woman in the park and you think that it's possible in this universe that your daughter could end up being this girl in the park, it'll send a shiver down your spine. So now nobody will go in the park. None of the locals can go to the park. None of the kids can play in the park. You can only go to the park to buy or sell drugs and probably a Lucy or two here and there. But the law enforcement says cops are unwilling to take charge of the park and risk rekindling tensions. One police source said, I wouldn't want to do any work over there. You'd have to be crazy to go over there. And so now, now the inmates run the asylum. But no other young black men have been harassed by the police there in Tompkinsville Park in Staten Island. Now it's just hell on earth. So there. That's from our justice file, as you can well imagine. And now we move into our SOB file. That's right. Last week, 2 weeks ago, when were we on last? A couple weeks ago. The show was entitled Summer of Blood, as I predicted a particularly violent summer full of bloodshed. So now we have the SOB file, the Summer of Blood file. Yes. And this over this weekend, the worst stabbing incident in Boise history was recorded. Now, the fact that I just read that sentence, the fact that there's a news article that calls this the worst mass stabbing incident in the history of Boise, Idaho. I don't think there's ever been a mass stabbing incident in Boise, Idaho. Not that I recall. Anyway, the police responded to a man with a knife at an apartment complex in Boise. They found 9 people in the parking lot and inside the complex who'd been stabbed. Four of the victims have life-threatening injuries as we speak now. And some of the injured were members of the city's refugee community. I'm not sure what that means. Maybe they came from Tompkinsville. Maybe they were refugees from Staten Island. I don't know. Bangladesh, Syria, Iraq, Venezuela, Guatemala. We don't know. But apparently Boise has a burgeoning refugee community. And some of the people stabbed at the apartment complex in Boise were members of said refugee community. And then you could just hear the typewriters getting cranked up as the left-wing media wanted to write their stories of how someone in a Make America Great hat went on a rampage and stabbed all these refugees. That story has not come to pass. Now, police have not yet released a motive for the attack, but they've arrested a 30-year-old man from Los Angeles who was is not a refugee, but also was not wearing a Make America Great hat and was reported to be a temporary resident of the apartments and had been asked to leave the apartment complex on Friday. He had been asked to leave, and he went on a stabbing rampage, alleged. He went on an alleged stabbing rampage on Saturday. So chances are it has nothing to do with the Make America Great hat again. It has nothing to do with the refugee crisis and all the talk of border security and open borders and defund ICE and abolish ICE and hippies in the street and the new coalition of Occupy and what was Barry Obama's organization called? I can't remember Barry. Organizing for America, Occupy, and other misfits, various drug addicts, queers, and perverts. It had nothing to do with any of that. It had to do with a 30-year-old from L.A. who'd been kicked out of his apartment complex and just decided to stab as many people as he could. There, that's what it was just part of the summer of blood. It really wasn't political. It really had more to do with the fact that this 30-year-old from Los Angeles had absolutely no fear of the justice system, no fear of God, and went on a stabbing rampage. Anyway, that's my prediction. We don't really know. My guess is they will not find a Make America Great hat again, and he will not be a member of Occupy or Antifa or anything like that. Just another thug doing harm, that's all. within a nation and a civilization that's lost all respect for justice. In fact, has become unmoored from the ability to enforce justice. Well, I would posit that. And I have evidence right here. Evidence that our country, the officials in charge of administering justice in our country at the local, state, and federal level have lost the ability to enforce justice. And I have evidence again. The New York Post reports that Robert Hayes is getting out of prison. He's getting out on parole. He was a member of the Black Liberation Army who killed a transit cop in 1973. Back in 1973, the transit patrolman Sidney Thompson, 37-year-old, father of two, was murdered trying to arrest the 23-year-old Robert Hayes and a second Black Liberation Army member for jumping a turnstile. Jumping a turnstile? Why, how serious is that? That's like selling Lucy's or something. Maybe this officer should have minded his own business and not enforced justice upon such a minor infraction. It's 15 cents. It was 15 cents. Why did this cop? How dare he? So when he tried to arrest these two BLA members, they killed him. And now Robert Hayes, he's been granted parole. He could be out as early as July 24th. Yeah, And do I have this other? Didn't I just report on this? Oh, I'm sorry. This is a different one. So just 2 months ago, back on April 27th, another Black Liberation Army member, a man who killed three law enforcement officers, Herman Bell, he got parole. He'd been in prison for 47 years for the ambush murder of two New York City Police Department officers. And now there's two other cop killers, Eddie Matos and Anthony Bottom, are also due for parole hearings. So I guess back in the 70s in New York, if you killed a cop, you didn't get the death penalty. You got the old life, double life, triple life, four consecutive life sentences, which means eventually you'll get out of jail. And these bastards are going up for parole. And so I hope you people understand I was being facetious when I questioned the officer for arresting or attempting to stop these men from jumping a turnstile. You see, there's a principle in justice called contempt. And quite often it's the petty crime that is done just to show contempt for the police or for the law in general. And so police officers shouldn't be expected to tolerate petty crime. Jumping a turnstile in front of a cop is a way of thumbing your nose at justice. And that can't be tolerated. And so the cop had every right, in fact, he had the duty to try to arrest Robert Hayes for jumping the turnstile, just as the officers had every right and duty to try to arrest Eric Garner for selling Lucy's in the park. Because a public display of criminal behavior should not be tolerated, because that ingrains into society a disrespect for justice in general, and it leads to murderers a generation or two later. Now we have murderers getting out of jail, cop killers getting out of jail. In fact, let's go one more deeper into the justice file. Jackie Wilson, he was convicted in one of Chicago's most infamous cop killings. Well, he walked out of jail last week from Cook County. Yeah, walked out of jail. The judge had tossed his murder conviction after finding that a notorious police commander and detectives under his command had allegedly physically coerced the confession of one Jackie Wilson. Yeah. So apparently there's a police commander, John Berg, in Chicago, who's been accused by about 1.6 million Black guys of torturing and abusing them during the 70s and 80s. There's been all kinds of lawsuits, and the Chicago Police Department has paid out over $100 million to settle lawsuits and pay judgments and other compensation to victims of this alleged dirty cop, Commander John Berg. Now, I don't know the story of John Berg. Maybe he's a dirty cop. There are dirty cops. There are dirty cops. Well, the fact that Jackie Wilson had at one time apparently come within striking distance of this dirty cop, that gave the judge all he needed to throw out the conviction. And now here's what shocked me about this. At a hearing last Thursday, the team of special prosecutors laid out their case for keeping this cop killer in custody, pending a new trial. They wanted a new trial. Prosecutors summarized the expected testimony of several witnesses, including eyewitnesses who implicated Wilson, as well as correctional officers who allegedly heard him take credit for the slayings while in custody. This is all according to the Chicago Tribune. So the special prosecutors laid out their case for not letting the cop killer go, and the judge asked prosecutors whether they knew if any of these witnesses were still alive to testify. And the prosecutor said, you know, it's been a long time. It's been over 30 years. We're not sure if they're all alive. And so the judge at that point released the cop killer from custody. Because justice has been dragged out and delayed so long, and then it gets affected by a dirty cop, and there's just a soft underbelly of disrespect for justice that has landed us right here in the midst of a summer of blood. Doug McBurney, thank you for joining us. It's on a hot summer night. We go now into the domestic tranquility file, where we go across the pond to see what the unmooring from godliness has visited upon our cousins across the pond in Great Britain. The New York Post is reporting that a British father was beaten to death by a group of teenagers. One of them apparently beat him about the head and shoulders with a cricket bat. When the 42-year-old dad confronted the teenagers about stealing a pair of bikes. Stealing a pair of bikes is what they were confronted about. And they beat him to death. A 16-year-old boy has been charged with murder. So that's the state of domestic tranquility in Shropshire, which is in the United Kingdom. Yeah. Anyway, the Europeans unmoored themselves from godliness. So a good 40 years before, in earnest, I mean, or in toto, I should say, maybe 40 years before we did. And so now you got, you know. You go to confront some teenagers, they were stealing a bike, or they tried to steal a bike. Well, you get beaten to death. That's all right. So we move now to reason number 1,140 to keep or get your children out of the government schools. This is from the Associated Press. The family of a 12-year-old girl. Family of a 12-year-old girl who committed suicide has filed a lawsuit against her school district, claiming that the school district failed to protect her from bullying, is what they're alleging in their lawsuit. And it's not about the money, by the way. Now, the parents, they don't say that here, but I'm telling you that when we see their interview, they'll tell you that this is not about the money. This is about getting justice for the young girl. Mallory Grossman was a sixth grader at Copeland Middle School, Rockaway, New Jersey, and had apparently undergone the living hell of months of ongoing and systematic bullying. That's according to the lawsuit. Her family says it caused her to suffer, they say. And so on June 14th, 2017, Mallory Grossman killed herself. Her parents, in the suit, cite at least 14 bullying incidents they say drove their daughter to kill herself. And they said they could provide evidence to prove that the school system could have prevented the alleged attacks. The parents said they addressed the alleged bullying at a meeting with the school just before their daughter killed herself. They said they went into the school and they told the officials there that their daughter was suffering, but nothing changed. A statement from the parents: our family is forever changed because they, meaning the school district, chose not to put systems in place, and they chose not to protect her. All right. So here we have they're going to go to law over this with the school. And, well, were I the judge, I would, number one, I would throw their case out, and I would tell mom and dad, if they're even living together, which they probably aren't, but if I had to call them at their separate residences, what I would tell them would be that there is already a system in place to protect your daughter against bullying. It's called your family. That's the you see, the school district was not in charge of putting in a system to protect children. You see, the God already put in place a system for protecting children. It's called a mother and a father. It's called a family unit. And so your case has no merit because despite the fact that you insist that you knew your child was suffering, you even went to the school and you had a meeting about her suffering, and you even have evidence to prove that your child was suffering because of attacks that could have been prevented. Well, all that tells us is that you failed, Mom, and you failed, Dad. You sent your child into the belly of the beast every day, despite the fact that you knew she was suffering and being tortured and being bullied. I wouldn't arrest the parents. No, I wouldn't. I'd start with the governor of the state of New York, and I would arrest every official down to the superintendent of schools, and I'd arrest all of them. And because this isn't a civil issue anymore. What the government schools is doing to children and families has now become a criminal endeavor. And so the civil case is without merit. Anyway, for those of you who have your children in the government schools, I implore you to get them out. I know something this extreme probably won't happen to your child. It'll probably be much more subtle. Probably be much more subtle with your child, but the damage is being done on a daily basis. And who's responsible? Well, it's not the governor and it's not the superintendent of schools, although they should all be arrested for participating in this criminal enterprise. It's really the fault of the parent who doesn't take responsibility for raising their own child, and that would be in the eyes of God. Forget about the judge and forget about the lawsuit. Forget about the school district. Forget about your friends. Forget about your coworkers. What about what God thinks. Who does God hold responsible? Because ultimately, that's what really matters. I mean, yes, things can get very rough here on earth. But what is that really compared to eternity? What if you had to quit your job and sell your second car and stay home, Mom, to take care? What if, I'm just saying, I know, that's brutal to even suggest that someone could live such a difficult life. But what if that would have changed this situation, Mom? Or, you know, Dad, what if you hadn't gone and had all those affairs and ended up destroying your marriage? And now Mom has to work because she's supporting the kids because you fought over the kids and Mom ended up keeping them half the time. You end up keeping them half the time, which means both of you have to work because neither of you can count on each other. And you, there's only one thing you both know is that you hate each other. And that ends up impacting your child. Now, I hope I didn't infer too much or imply too much. I certainly hope I didn't offend anyone or hurt anybody's feelings out there. Yes, indeed. Why not? I think some people need their feelings hurt. I think some people need to be smacked upside the head with reality. That's what I think. Anyway, so now let's move away from something specific, which is the suffering, the torture, the bullying, and the death of this young girl, the irresponsibility of her parents, the haplessness and criminal behavior of the school district and the government, which are all very specific and came to a very specific head in this case in Rockaway, New Jersey, with the death of Mallory Grossman in sixth grade. Contemplating suicide in sixth grade? What's going on? I mean, this is the kind of thing where the whole country should lock up the brakes, pull over to the side and ask, what the hell is going on? How could a sixth grader be contemplating suicide, let alone carrying it out? But we just keep rolling on down the highway. Full speed ahead, no brakes. Instead, we're worried about Maxine Waters. Where we're and I'm not saying we shouldn't be, and I'm going to talk about it, obviously. But when you have something as specific as sixth graders killing themselves, I think the time for heated rhetoric around immigration policy maybe needs to take second or third place. That's all. Maybe there are some bigger issues that we should be dealing with, people. But I've said my piece. If you don't take your kids out of the government schools and raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord, you're sinning against your children and you're sinning against God. And there will be consequences in this life and in the next. And what else can I do? I can't put a gun to your head. All right, so Maxine, and if I did put a gun to your head, that wouldn't do any good. I need you people to want to do right. That's what we want. Oh, that's it. God doesn't want to put a gun to your head. He doesn't want to force his beliefs down your throat. He just wants you to look around you and see what's right and good. And quite often, we realize what's right and good by seeing what's horrible and awful and even living through it. But I'm just wondering, how long will it be and what will it take for us to learn? I mean, here's a family. This family in Far Rockaway, New Jersey, their daughter has killed herself. And what have they chosen to do? File a lawsuit against the school. How about change your life? How about look at the disaster that your life is and fix it? Or no, how about look at the disaster that your life is and ask God to help you with it? God would not suggest that you take the superintendent to court. That would not be in the top 500 things you need to do to try to salvage something redeeming from your life. Do we want to go on to Maxine Waters, for crying out loud? I feel like this doesn't even matter. I can't believe I'm going to even talk about it. And this is all you heard about for the past week. Maxine Waters and Trump's spokesmouth gets thrown out of a chicken restaurant, and all of a sudden we're on the verge of civil war. Is that what you think? Well, maybe what it is that the Civil War's already going on. And everyone's freaking out because it might just pour out into the streets. That's why everybody wants a piece of the action. Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. Thank you for not turning off the show if your feelings were hurt in the last segment. Do I want to get to Maxine Waters and the Civil War and all that? I just don't know. Well, let's start with abortion. All right, yeah, I said it. Well, that's all. Ever since that Supreme Court Justice, I don't even know his name, Stevens, Jeffrey, Biff, Skip, whatever his name is, he announced he's gonna retire. The only thing you hear about is abortion, abortion, abortion. How we need to protect abortion. We need to protect the woman's right to abortion. And the full-fledged leftists from MSNBC, CNN, they're willing to lay down in the street and set themselves on fire around the Capitol to prevent the appointment of a conservative judge who might end a woman's right to kill her child. And a father's right, by the way. It might end parents' rights to murder their children. Everybody's ready to... And in fact, Trump was interviewed on it. And by the way... The fact that everybody talks about abortion nonstop since we found out that Donald Trump is going to be able to appoint another justice really proves that that is the only issue that actually matters. And if you wonder why there is a seething hatred bubbling just under the surface in American life that could explode at any moment into physical violence, it's because of that issue. And it's only that issue. It's not migrants, it's not border policy, it's not transgendered bathrooms, it's not wedding cakes for fags, it's none of that. It's about murdering innocent people, and the fact that it's been, the legalized murder of innocent people has been forced upon a significant plurality of our society that will not accept that it is legal to murder innocent people. And that plurality, me, I'm being a part of that plurality. We understand that when human life is in the balance and innocent people are being killed, that there is the need to make war against that. Making war against that is a requirement. And then on the other side, you have the child killers. With blood on their hands and guilt in their heart, who want to kill anyone who would ever accuse them of doing anything wrong. And so that can only go on for so long before the two sides have at each other's throats. It's coming. And Donald Trump, of course, the most pro-life president since George Washington, or maybe Abraham Lincoln, he was interviewed on a broadcast called Sunday Morning Features that I've never heard of. But that's okay. They've probably never heard of me. And they got Donald Trump on the show. Donald has not come on this show yet. And I'm not going to do my Donald Trump impression because it's not good enough. I just can't do it. I don't know why. Certain vacuous people, I have a hard time. When they're totally empty, hollow, blank souls, it's like Barack Obama. I couldn't do Barack Obama until after he had left office. For some reason. Probably the same way with Trump. Trump was asked in the interview if he would ask potential Supreme Court nominees about their position on Roe versus Wade, which is a very polite way of saying, will you ask them if they think it's legal to murder children? But we can say that these days by just saying, how do you feel about Roe versus Wade? Instead of, do you think it's okay to murder innocent children for convenience sake? Or for any reason, really. Could you lay out the reasons under which you think it should be legal to murder innocent people, Mr. Trump? But no, he was asked what are potential nominees about their position, how they might feel, their jurisprudence and their judicial philosophy regarding the Roe versus Wade decision, Mr. President. So he was asked, are you going to ask them how they feel about Roe versus Wade? And Trump said, well, that's a big one. That's a big one. And probably not. Probably not. They're all saying, don't do it. You don't do that. I'm not supposed to do that. You shouldn't do that. But I'm putting conservative people on there. That's what I'm doing. Putting conservative people on. And then the interviewer asked Trump if abortion rights should be decided by the states. Mr. President, do you think the states should have the right to decide when and under what circumstances it would be legal, let's say, to murder innocent people. Well, let's not ask the question that way. Let's ask if abortion rights, let's take a rather nebulous phrase like abortion rights. He was asked if abortion rights should be decided by the states. And Trump said, well, maybe someday it'll be the states. You never know. You never know how that's going to turn out. That's a very complex question. The Roe versus the Wade is probably the one that people are talking about in terms of having an effect. But we will see what happens. But it could very well end up with the states at some point, said the most pro-life president since King David. The most pro-life presidents since Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is Donald Trump. Yeah. And you know why he can get away with saying this and all the gullible evangelicals still say he's pro-life? Is because all the foolish, gullible evangelicals forget that the question of child killing actually started amongst the states. In fact, child killing was legalized in Mississippi and then Colorado and then California and I think maybe a couple other states back when the states had the right to choose. And they were on their way to legalizing the murder of innocent children when the Supreme Court stepped in and rendered their opinion, and everybody scurried as fast as they could to comply with their opinion, opening up abortion clinics around the country. In the quiet and in the dark, while the Christians sat, I don't know what they were doing, they were sleeping or something. And so now Donald Trump continues, the same lazy, haphazard Christians who allowed all the abortion clinics to be set up just because nine men in black robes rendered an opinion in 1973, and then the Christians just went to bed and went to sleep while they started an abortion, a baby-killing industry right there in our neighborhoods. Those same bamboozled evangelicals have voted for Donald Trump, and they think they're saving the country, which is why the whole place is on its way to hell in a handbasket. And then in steps Maxine Waters. She says, she encourages people on the left to harass people who work for the Trump administration, I think is how it all came down. She proclaimed that the left has it. Well, let's just see here. Maxine Waters sent out a call to harass and get in the face of any public servant with whom one might disagree on policy or actions. And the reporters over at Breitbart, they basically say Waters' call to arms easily becomes the spark flaring into deadly action, violence even. People and groups act upon such words. And now this author at Breitbart isn't the first so-called conservative to express concerns that the fact that they threw Trump's spokesmouth out of a chicken restaurant means that we're on the verge of civil war. I've heard that. Well, that's been the drumbeat of the week. And Breitbart goes on to say, stalk, harass, and intimidate. Oh, shoot. The congresswoman called for her supporters to stalk, harass, and intimidate her enemies. And this is a repudiation of the social contract that makes the rule of law possible. Mob rule represents a philosophical rejection of civility and the very rule of law on which our country was founded. Well, I mean, yeah, I suppose that's true. It kind of depends on who Maxine's talking about. Because there are certain people who shouldn't be allowed to eat at a chicken restaurant in peace. And I'll give you an example. One of the people who shouldn't be allowed to eat at a chicken restaurant in peace, I'll give you two, three, four people. Robert Hayes, Black Liberation Army, cop killer. Eddie Matos, cop killer. Anthony Bottom, cop killer. Who was the guy in Chicago? Who is the guy in Chicago? Another cop killer. How about whoever's convicted of stabbing these people at the apartment complex in Boise? They shouldn't be allowed to eat at a chicken restaurant. They shouldn't allowed to be stopped at a gas station in peace. They should be vagabonds upon the face of the earth if they're allowed to live at all. Anyone who would harm or kill an innocent child shouldn't be allowed to eat at a chicken restaurant or even sit in their own living room in peace. They should be punished. They should be arrested and put on trial. So if Maxine Waters were talking about those people, I really don't have a problem with Maxine Waters' tactics. In fact, I've participated in them. I've never thrown anyone out of a chicken restaurant, but I've shown up at an abortionist's house and harassed his family and I think driven his wife insane. She may be in an asylum right now for what we put that woman through. But he deserved it. He was a murderer. And so it really depends on who she's talking about. But one thing I do agree with is that this idea that we are going to start to get in one another's faces about political differences, it is the very last step before outright violence. That is absolutely true. In fact, the only reason I ever went to the abortionist's house and protested at his house and ruined his neighborhood was because I couldn't do violence against him. The next thing I would have done would have been violence. I did everything right up to violence, and it was ridiculous. We should have all been arrested for it. You shouldn't be allowed to show up at someone's house and harass them. That shouldn't, unfortunately, the governing officials allowed someone who should have been arrested, put on trial, and executed to live in a very comfortable middle-class neighborhood. And there's a significant plurality of society that simply will not stand for that. Because we know that murderers should not be allowed to live in peace. Now, someone who advocates strict border controls is not a murderer. And nobody should be showing up at their house. Somebody who, I don't know, the spokesmouth for the president. I mean, unless she's advocating criminal behavior, which she's not, she should be allowed to eat at a chicken restaurant. She should be allowed to go to a gas station. And we shouldn't start a civil war over the alleged separation of families, which is all a myth anyways. I mean, not that families get separated, but that this is anything new or something Donald Trump is doing. It's just ridiculous. It's just ludicrous that young people could be bamboozled into thinking this is what it's worth. This is what's worth starting a civil war over? Enforcing the law against people who enter the country illegally? Well, I think the people encouraging these type of protests are part of the criminal element themselves who should be arrested, as a matter of fact. Well, here we go. Now we have Maxine Waters says now she's getting death threats. And she insists that she was not calling for harm. She was calling for peaceful protests against anyone who works for the Trump administration. And she criticized Donald Trump during a rally this weekend, saying to the president, "How dare you take the babies from their mother's arms," said Maxine Waters, with a straight face in front of God and everyone. She criticized the politician for ripping the babies out of their mother's arms, while for 40 years Maxine Waters has participated and funded the violent ripping of children out of their mother's wombs and their murder. You hypocrite. You're the one who should not be allowed to live in peace. Doug McBurney, thank you for hanging with us as we try to bring all this together and wrap it up and make something of some redeeming value out of all of this. So one more thing to all of you Republicans who are complaining about Maxine Waters. She's also educating your children, you idiots. You hapless morons feeding your children into the government schools. Who do you think runs the government schools? It's Maxine Waters and her ilk. The killers. The killers are running the schools. The killers are running the media that you allow your children to consume. The entertainment that you allow your children to put into their eyes and their ears. They're being run by the likes of Maxine Waters. And so at some point you should lose the ability to complain. Unless you repent, for crying out loud. All right. From the decline and fall file, we have the New York Times is reporting from Washington, D.C., that deaths now outnumber births among white people in more than half the states in the country. And that's disastrous. Not because it's white people, but because it's people. Deaths outnumber births among people. In more than half the states, you don't have to point out that they're white people. I mean, what's up at the New York Times? You're as bad as all the reporters. Why do you have to point out that this is white people? All the reporters after the what was the name of that newspaper? The Capital Gazette shooting this past week, the latest mass murder. Because I mean, if births are outnumbering deaths, that's bad news. No matter what color you are, it doesn't matter what color your mom or dad happen to be. If you're living in Idaho and there's more deaths than births, that's bad. Even if you're black or brown or white or yellow or red or plaid, doesn't matter. It's bad news. But they got to point out the white, the black, the angle, right? The race angle. A new report this week found that whites are dying faster than they're being born in 26 states. Anyway, so watching the coverage of the Capital Gazette shooting, the mass murder at the newspaper in Maryland, I heard so-called conservative talk show hosts who I could tell they wanted the Capital Gazette killer to be a Mexican or a black guy or a Muslim. They wanted that just as bad as the Washington Post wanted him to be a white guy with a Make America Great hat again, right? Anyway, so I think when you become unmoored from godliness and then you promote the idea that murder is a legitimate solution to problems via legalized child killing for a couple of generations, eventually you get to the point where the hatred, everyone's hatred for each other is so vitriolic that it ends up being vomited out on issues like race that really shouldn't matter anymore. I mean, aren't we all beyond race for crying out loud? Apparently not. We can't get beyond any of our original sins because the big one still hasn't been dealt with. Didn't Donald Trump call child killing a big one? Didn't he? And in his interview, he was asked, remember, how are you going to ask them how they feel about Roe versus Wade, Mr. President? Well, that's a big one. It's a big one. Huh? Trump knows it's a big one. That's right, Mr. Trump. The killing of innocent people is a big one. It's the biggest one. And it's the one thing that your administration hasn't lifted a finger to help. And it's the reason that your administration, just like all the ones from the past few generations, my whole life, will be drenched in blood, murder, guilt, and shame. Yeah, your Make America Great hat again. And it's appropriate that it's red. That'll hide some of the blood that you'll have to soak up. You filthy, lying, murdering, bamboozling, filthy... Episcopalian, isn't he? Is he Episcopalian? Whatever. The most conservative president since Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, and Benjamin Franklin all rolled into one, and the crowd went wild. All right. There's a baby boom in Texas, though, in the meantime. In Fort Worth, the nurse... let's try that again. In Fort Worth, Texas, at the Baylor nursery, since June 26th, 48 babies were born in less than 2 days between June 26th and June 28th. That they averaged more than one baby an hour. And the doctor there says it's always a busy time of the year. I didn't know that. Did you know most babies are born in July, August, and September? I did not know that. Interesting. The least number of babies are typically born in February.
Are you talking about cows?
No. Cows? No. No, cows are typically born in February.
Yeah.
They're like born in the worst part of the year. You drive by our neighbor's house, there's three guys laying down in the mud underneath a cow. It's 8 degrees outside. They're trying to get a calf out. So it's a rough life, I'll tell you. But down at Baylor, they've got a mini baby boom trying to make up for all the white people not being born, for whatever that's worth. Let's see. From the politics file, the United States of America has withdrawn from the Unhuman Rights Council, calling it an organization, quote, that is not worthy of its name. I don't know. I thought Unhuman Rights Council always fit pretty well. No, they call themselves the Human Rights Council, the United Nations Human Rights Council. And Nikki Haley gave a speech. Hey, rah, rah, rah. I actually agree with this. I'm glad. She called them a hypocritical, self-serving organization that makes a mockery of human rights. They have a chronic bias against Israel and pursue a relentless and pathological campaign against the Jewish state. And so the United States has withdrawn from the Unhuman Rights Council. And I agree, but it's not real. That's not really the big one, Nikki. That's not really the big one, Mr. President. I truly believe that Trump is so shallow and ignorant that he thinks moving the embassy to Jerusalem and trying to make nice with Israel and doing things like abandoning the Unhuman Rights Council, that he's actually scoring points with God. I really think so. I think that's how shallow and stupid he is on a spiritual level. I'm sure he's a smart guy who knows how to put up a high rise. I'm very impressed, Mr. Trump. I'm sure that'll serve you well in all of eternity. I'm sure there'll be a real big call for high rises in the pit of hell, where you're on your way to, buddy, if you don't repent and you don't stop all this child murder. If Mr. Trump wants to solve the problem of America being on the verge of some sort of civil discord or some sort of violent conflict house to house, he should step in and end child killing. Because what he would do is he would freak out one side for a few minutes. That would be the child killers. They would absolutely freak out for about 5 minutes. And then the significant plurality of Americans, many of whom elected this idiot, that significant plurality would stand up and cheer. And the other side would be so filled with shame that they would crawl into a hole and want to hide. They would be like the slaveholders after Reconstruction. They just wouldn't want anyone to know that they had participated in something so horrible. And Mr. Trump, if you really feel like this is a time when you can do the things that all presidents have been told you can't do that, you shouldn't do that, nobody does that, you can't do that, well, you should do that. Because if you did that, a lot of these other things that you have basically built your presidency on, economic progress and a chicken in every pot and low taxes, economic boom and jobs, all that would follow, Mr. President. And there wouldn't be this underlying current of seething hatred and vitriol that threatens to burst up through the civilizational cracks and drown us all in molten violence, bloodshed, and terror. But instead, what we have is jobs. Oh, and, we might be burning each other's houses down by the end of the summer. So there might be riots in the streets, blood running down the gutters. But everyone will have a job, and the taxes will be low. Regulations will be low. All right. I have an email here from my other brother, Daryl. If you remember last week, we talked about Bradley Manning posting his almost suicide. Posted like a picture of his painted toenails hanging over the ledge of a tall building. Anyway, we discussed whether or not it would be in poor taste to start a pool on when Bradley Manning kills himself. My other brother Daryl writes to me, Doug, for the Bradley, and we, oh, by the way, we decided it would be in poor taste and that we weren't going to start the pool. My other brother Daryl writes to me, Doug, for the Bradley Manning pool that you are officially not having, I am officially not picking Labor Day. That's what he said. Labor Day. All right, then I will officially not pick the 4th of July. Bradley Manning being such a patriot and all, remember. All right, so there you've got, we've got two in the pool that's not happening. So if anyone else wants to throw their, cast their lot in that sense, feel free to email me or call someone else. And we'll try to, all right, Indonesia. Let's go in, and when you have to go to Indonesia for a bit of sanity on the justice front, you know things are going poorly. A court in Indonesia has sentenced an Islamic State cleric to death for his role in organizing a series of terrorist attacks. That's all? Have we in the United States, have we sentenced any terrorists to death since the Twin Towers fell? Crickets. No. Not even one. We haven't even sentenced one to death. In Indonesia, they know. They're a bunch of Muslims, for crying out loud. They sentenced him to death. And I'll bet he'll be dead here in the next 2 weeks, more than likely. I don't know if he gets an appeal or what. But at least they did it. All right. Loneliness is on the rise. Oh, here we go. One last story from the SOB file before we close. For all of you people who thought that... what we really need is for the police to not get into people's faces over minor crimes. Jumping a turnstile, selling a Lucy, a petty offense. So maybe they write a bad check. Maybe they do some shoplifting. Do we really need, I mean, is there really a need to put pressure on these poor people for such, and to put pressure on our justice system by pursuing these minor crimes? Is that really necessary? Well, join me as we go to the Bronx, where a man was sucker punched on the street in the Bronx. It was captured on surveillance video. He was punched in the face so hard that he fell unconscious to the street. The man who punched him then stole some personal effects, walked away. And then the victim was robbed by another group of people who found him lying in the street. Not good Samaritans. In fact, the opposite of good Samaritans. Instead of helping the man, they took whatever was left in the man's pockets. Yeah, that's right. The man who threw the punch returned to the camera's frame and took cell phone videos of the victim lying in the street. Took a picture. Neighbors described the victim, and I think we have his name here, Luis Rivera. No, I'm sorry, Luis Rivera is the perpetrator. He turned himself into police after everyone and their brother saw his picture on the news. The victim, Lovano, and I don't have his first name, which is kind of embarrassing. Neighbors described the victim as a hardworking father who had lived in the same area of the Bronx for more than 30 years. The two suspects in the assault were later caught on surveillance cameras up the street, giving each other high fives. So you know, sucker punching someone, that's not a petty crime, right? Robbing someone of a cell phone or maybe his wallet, maybe you consider that a petty crime. Well, none of it is petty. And if the police are not allowed to enforce the law at the border and inside the mother's womb, the police should be able to enforce the law inside the mother's womb, the law against murder, along with all the other laws, like you can't be selling loose cigarettes on the street and drawing a crowd of junkies You can't be jumping a turnstile. You can't be shoplifting or passing bad checks. And if any one of those breaks down, we end up with this. We end up with blood in the streets here in the Bronx. And the threat that's all of a sudden got everyone on edge about blood in the streets everywhere. Well, that's what you get. And maybe that's what it's going to take to change people's minds. All right, that's the Weekly Worldview. I want to thank you all for being here. I want to thank my friends at KGOV and at Denver Bible Church and AmericanRightToLife.com. And, of course, my other brother, Darryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview Studios. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.